If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk about AEW and NXT from Wednesday night. How about this? Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, now your new AEW World Tag Team Champions. And how about this? The first title change in AEW history. Also on NXT, we got Keith Lee becoming your North American champion. And is this going to hinder his spot at this year's Royal Rumble? Also, MJF takes a dip in the pool on the Jericho Cruise. We'll explain. And Jon Moxley, your number one contender for Chris Jericho's AEW World Championship. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Well, one thing we do know, you and I are going to be working together on Sunday because we're going to be doing a big Royal Rumble pre-show from 3 to 5 right here on SiriusXM Fight Nation. So I'm looking forward to doing that pre-show with you on Sunday, Bully.
That should be fun, a little pre-gaming before the big Royal Rumble, which I predict will be a very fun Royal Rumble this year.
I think it's going to be fun, too.
Yeah, I think the stars are lining up for the surprises to be cool, and I think it'll be fun. I hope I'm not wrong. After watching NXT, oh, by the way, after watching NXT last night, now you have my complete full permission without a rebuttal to bitch, moan, and complain that they did not announce anybody from NXT in the Rumble.
Yeah, and we had Sam Roberts on the show yesterday, and Sam Roberts is, I think the word shill is a bit strong, but you know where I'm going. He is definitely a WWE advocate, and it's always good to get his perspective here on Busted Open. We're big fans of Sam Roberts, and he was saying that, well, why would you want to do that? Because NXT should always be separate of Raw or SmackDown, but quite honestly, since the move to USA, that has not been the case. We saw NXT a big part of Survivor Series. They've actually kind of advertised that this is a Royal Rumble where all three brands will be represented. But as of right now, and yesterday was the go-home show, unless I'm mistaken, I don't even remember them referencing the Royal Rumble on last night's show.
Well, if there's going to be, it's crazy because on the Survivor, you know, when Survivor Series is around, all that they were doing on Raw, SmackDown, and NXT was talking about Survivor Series. Now that the Rumble is around, they're not talking about it at all. Maybe there's not going to be a surprise entrant from NXT, or maybe they're keeping their mouth shut because they want it to be a huge surprise. Listen, the one guy from NXT that I have been talking about as far as the only guy I want to see in the Rumble, and if WWE had the chutzpah, the balls, the guts, and I'm not calling him out on this, I'm just saying this would be a huge move on their part. The only guy from NXT I'd like to see in there is Keith Lee. And, you know, Keith Lee, if I was booking this stuff and if I had the pencil, you know who my first choice was. It's my Punk scenario. But my second choice this whole time would be the surprise. It would be Keith Lee. Because Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar and Keith Lee, just about anybody right now is money. Is it too soon? Is it too quick? Yeah, it might be. But if anybody can make Keith Lee, it's Brock Lesnar. So last night, if you take a look at like the typical WWE way of doing things, it seemed like people on social media were almost disappointed that Keith Lee won the NXT North American Championship because it's like, well, if he won this, he'll never win the Royal Rumble. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I kind of had that same kind of thought process when I saw the end of NXT last night. Like you mentioned, CM Punk on WWE backstage, his prediction, and maybe not even prediction, what he would love to see is Keith Lee not only make a presence and have a presence with Brock Lesnar, but eliminate Brock Lesnar and win the Royal Rumble. And what a way to make Keith Lee, and what a way to put over NXT in a big way, even bigger than what we saw in November with Survivor Series. But now that he's the North American champion, I don't know if you can even in the remotely go and look at that as being a possibility, because he's going to hold the North American championship and then go after a WWE, you know, world championship. I just don't see that happening. And looking at who's confirmed for Sunday, maybe NXT is not going to have any presence at all when it comes to the Royal Rumble. Because as of right now, with 22 entrants of the Royal Rumble confirmed, not one of them is from NXT. And right now for the women's Royal Rumble match, there is 5 women confirmed and not one of them is from NXT. So maybe NXT is going to have zero presence on Sunday.
What's the match scheduled for TakeOver for Keith Lee?
The NXT, I'll pull up the NXT TakeOver UK Worlds Collide card, and I'll go through it with you exactly what matches that we're going to see.
Just give me the Keith Lee match right now, please.
Well, there is no match for Keith Lee right now.
Okay. So he did go over last night, but he doesn't have a match at When Worlds Collide, right?
No.
So last night's victory kind of leads us down the road of he's not going to win the Rumble, but him not being scheduled right now for When Worlds Collide kind of sends me down the path of he's going to be a surprise in the Rumble.
Okay.
See what I'm working with there?
No, I do, and I understand it. And it makes sense that he's not part of the Worlds Collide because he doesn't have a story that has anything to do with NXT UK. But then, you know, does that mean he's going to be a part of the Rumble? Maybe. But I think that you thinking that he could win the Rumble, I think you could throw that out the window after what we saw last night. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there could be a complete swerve. I just don't see that happening now after last night.
You see, when there are certain suspects involved in the creative process of WWE, I have a lot of faith in some of the minds that are there. Two of the minds that are there that I have faith in when it comes to the old swerve are Triple H and Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. So, typical WWE mentality says, yeah, if Keith Lee's going to become the NXT North American champion, then, you know, he's not winning the Rumble. They already have us going down that trail, so we're not looking at Keith Lee as a potential winner. That's a possibility. I'm just telling you how they think. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Now, here's another thing. Did you see the way Punk looked on backstage?
What, his demeanor, or how explain?
His the way he looked physically, the clothing that he was wearing, anything and everything. I'm not saying he looked bad. I'm just saying, did you see the way he looked?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes, I did.
By the way he looked, do you think that he would be stepping into the ring at the Royal Rumble?
No.
Why?
It just didn't.
What about his look?
It seemed like an ex-athlete appearing on a talk show to me. It did. Okay. I didn't see any inkling, like physically, that he was ready in a mere few days to step into a ring and be a part of the Royal Rumble. Just at glance, watching him on that show.
Okay, so you went by the clothes that he was wearing.
Yes.
You went by maybe the gray in his beard or something like that. But let me ask you a question. If Punk would have walked out on backstage in his ring gear, would you have said that he was ready to go?
Yes.
Because Punk is not like rip chiseled and jacked, you know, during the on season, and then, you know, doesn't look so great in the off season. He basically looked on backstage the way he would normally look body wise, conditioning wise. He was just wearing, you know, he was wearing like a collared shirt, you know, some khakis, you know, very dressed down. I don't get say something.
Yeah. you know what I noticed about Punk on backstage Tuesday night that I never noticed before? He actually seemed like he wanted to be there on Tuesday night. Like, the other times I seen him, it's almost like either A, he was doing us a favor by being there, or B, he felt like an outsider being there. Tuesday night was the first time I really felt like, this guy is comfortable with his role and he feels like he's a part of the show.
He came out, he did the whole it's clobbering time gimmick, blah, yeah. blah, blah, laughing, smiling, having some fun.
Yes.
My point of bringing up his name is throwing fans off the scent. If you had a guy like Heyman, who is involved in this whole Punk situation, if there is even a Punk situation, we could be totally off base, Dave. He would tell Punk, when you're on backstage, you need to look as unassuming as possible. People need to see you on backstage in like your Izod shirt and your khakis and your, you know, your slip-on shoes and whatever you're wearing. And people need to look at you and go, oh, well, there's no way in hell we're going to see him. That's the lengths that real geniuses in the business will go down to get you off the scent, to make you believe, nah, man, there's no way in hell possible. And I'm going to keep saying this all show long, Dave. I could be totally, totally wrong. And I most likely am. But, man, wouldn't that be a moment? But, hell, wouldn't Keith Lee be a moment too?
Yeah, and but after last night, I don't think Keith Lee is going to have... Even if Keith Lee has some kind of stare down with Brock Lesnar, maybe there's a point where they're face-to-face and the crowd goes crazy. After what I saw last night, I'm not going to buy into that moment. Because I know there's no way that Keith Lee is going to win that Royal Rumble match on Sunday. So I don't understand why they had that moment at all last night, because to me it doesn't make sense. It's a random, just a random episode of NXT. They're building towards a Worlds Collide pay-per-view on Saturday. Keith Lee and the storyline with Undisputed Era and Roderick Strong really doesn't fit into the takeover. Like we just said, he's not even on the takeover on Saturday. And hey, it's a few days away. And one of your, you know, a big personality like CM Punk just said the night before on one of your shows that he would love to see Keith Lee win the Rumble. And it got us speculating where most of the show yesterday, Bully, we're talking about the possibility of Keith Lee winning the Royal Rumble. So why have that match? Why have that moment when it really doesn't mean anything towards what we're going to see this weekend?
For the exact reason I explained, to throw you off the scent, because it doesn't make sense. Because in the past, WWE logic has dictated to us, if they're going to put him over and for, you know, for something here, they're not going to put him over for something there. Well, what if they put him over for both? Now, do I think the main event at WrestleMania this year is Keith Lee versus Brock Lesnar? That's probably a long shot. But if Brock wanted to work with Keith Lee, I think Brock and Heyman, if anybody, would have a chance of convincing Vince that that was the right direction to go to. Because listen, it's hard enough to change Vince's mind, but trying to change Vince's mind when it comes to a main event of WrestleMania, I mean, you're talking about, you know, things that are impossible. Tommy being thin, hitting the lottery. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
We're 3 days away from the Rumble, right? It's Thursday. Rumble's on Sunday. I'm no closer to figuring out who's going to win this Rumble than any other. I'm actually, some of my ideas are completely thrown out the door as we're getting closer and closer to Sunday.
And as a performer and as a creative person, what you just said is music to my ears. You're going to watch, right?
Of course.
Imagine you weren't getting paid to watch. Would you still watch?
Yes, absolutely.
You would probably pay to watch.
Yes, I would.
Because you're, as a wrestling fan, you're so interested in what's going on right now, and you have no clue what's going on right now, and you can't pick a winner, and just that curiosity alone is going to make you tune in. And this is what I said last month. When Heyman cut the promo saying Brock is in the Rumble and he's going to be number one. Look at what putting Brock in the Rumble and making him number one has done. It's thrown us off all the scent. Because, Dave, how about this? Brock starts at one and wins.
What do you do? It's a very strong possibility, but what the hell do you do at WrestleMania?
You do Brock versus whoever the Universal Champion is at the time. I mean, it's the Fiend right now. Brock versus Fiend, title unification.
Oof. Here's the thing, Bully. The only juice for this Rumble is the fact that we know Brock is the first entrant in the Rumble. If Brock didn't declare himself the first entrant to the Rumble, I don't know how much juice and how much excitement I would have for Rumble on Sunday.
But look at how much stock you just put into Brock Lesnar. We know nothing about the Rumble. All we know that Brock's in it and he's number one, and that alone makes us want to watch the entire Rumble. That alone tells you how over Brock Lesnar is. That alone tells you how credible the value that Brock Lesnar has to this match. Because you want to see if Brock is going to run the table. You want to see if Brock is going to get... You definitely want to see if Brock's going to get eliminated. You want to see who can eliminate Brock. There's so many questions to be asked where the very viable answer is Brock.
No, Brock, you know, Brock is...
Brock. Who's the number one person you want to see get eliminated more than anybody else in the Royal Rumble?
Brock Lesnar.
There you go. So as the guy that you want to see get thrown over the top rope, he's the heel that you want to see lose. And I don't think you really care which of the other 29 guys throw Brock over the top rope, as long as somebody throws Brock over the top rope.
So sure, we all got busy schedules and don't have time to spend hours at the gym. That's why there is F45, a 45-minute group workout that's effective as it is fun. F45 sweat-dripping, heart-pumping, high-intensity workouts merge three leading edge fitness training styles into a functional training experience unlike any other. This experience, accessible to all fitness levels, is built on innovation, motivation, and results that create an environment in which goals are met and exceeded. Whether your goal is to lose weight, build muscle, create healthy habits, or meet fitness-minded friends, F45 has something for everyone. Once you take your first F45 class, you'll be hooked. The pulsing, upbeat team training atmosphere will make you feel welcome, and our thousands of exercise combinations will keep you guessing every day. So, are you ready to find your nearest studio and join the F45 Global Fitness Community? Dial #250 on your cell phone and say F45 membership. They'll send you a location link directly to your phone. That's #250, keyword F45 membership. How about this, Bully? The first ever title change in AEW history. So 30 years from now, if we're still here, and somebody asks, hey, guys, what was the first ever title change on AEW? We could say it was on the Jericho Cruise when Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page beat SCU for the AEW tag team titles.
So many things that went on AEW last night that the only word that I will connect to it is fun, because I believe that's the only word that sums up, you know, the way they came on the air, on the boat. It just looked like fun. Hangman Page crowd surfing just looked like fun. Jericho coming out and the entire boat singing the lyrics to, you know, Judas and thanking Chris, that just looked like fun. Throwing MJF in the pool, that just looked like fun. Everybody on that boat looked like they were having fun. And that's why I tweeted, this is what makes AEW special. The entire show looks fun. Like, if you don't get that, I believe you're just a hater. You don't have to like the product. You don't have to like the wrestling. You don't have to like the characters. But you can't tell me what's coming off your TV set doesn't look like fun. Because all of the fans that are there are acting, or I shouldn't say acting, they're reacting as if they're having a great time, which is having fun. And that's how I summed up the whole thing. What I found interesting was the way the show started. Now, we know that AEW was a taped show, because they did it like the night before, and then they, you know, polished it up and produced it for television. So AEW starts off with a tag match. NXT, knowing already basically the entire AEW show, opens up with a tag match on their end. So this is like chess move for chess move. Then AEW goes with the women's match, and NXT goes with the women's match. So I could appreciate the game that was being played last night. No pun intended when it comes to NXT and the game.
Yes.
Move for move. So yeah, we did get a title change last night. I think more important than the title change last night with Hangman and Kenny winning the tag team championships and being the first championship to ever change hands was the demeanor of Hangman Page after the match and the demeanor of Hangman Page in the post-match interview with Tony Schiavone. Hangman Page is going down that route of, I'm tired of you guys stealing all the spotlight. You're glory hounds. How about just letting me have a little taste of the good life for a second without you guys all hogging, the spotlight. Leave me alone. Let me drink my Jack and Coke. Let me crowd surf with the fans. Look, I could have as much of a good time as you guys can. Fans love me just as much as they love you. And, get away from me.
No, but it doesn't play to what we've seen. Don't forget how this whole journey started with AEW. It was Hangman Page and Chris Jericho. And you and I talked about it, and there was a lot of debate with the fans, like, who should they go with? Are they going to go with Chris Jericho, the mainstream name, the veteran, or are they going to go with the younger guy they can kind of, like, hitch their carriage to and say, hey, this is going to be our guy. This is going to be the superstar we're going to make for this show. And it seemed like a lot of the fans that we talked to, Bully, were split on which way they would go. They went with Jericho. And since that moment, kind of Hangman Page fell to the background. He doesn't have that personality or character that's going to garner a lot of the limelight and spotlight. And to know that he almost had that moment and lost it, it kind of plays into the persona that we're now seeing with Hangman Page. And Hangman Page now has a persona. And it's the persona that's being played out on Wednesday nights. I really like it. This is what I don't understand. And Bully, I did the show with Mark Henry, and we got a couple of calls of people that were critical of Impact Wrestling, that they're going over the line, they're going too far. And it's like, this is the same people that for all those years we talked about they want the return to the Attitude Era, and then we get a product that's a little bit edgy and people are bitching and complaining. I can't believe people are bitching and complaining about this Hangman Page persona and character with the drinking and the alcohol. I like it. And I don't understand why people seem to have a problem with this Hangman Page character at all. Makes no sense to me.
To all those people who have a problem with Hangman Page or any of the other things that they might see on Impact that they find offensive, see you next Tuesday. I don't have any problem with anything they're doing. I think this is the most depth I've seen from Hangman Page. Mm-hmm. Worked with Hangman in Ring of Honor. Always thought very highly of him as a young up-and-coming talent that could do a lot of great things in the ring. But as far as depth is concerned of personality, here, how's this analogy for you, Dave? Tell me if you agree or not. Before Hangman started, the whole drinking thing and showing the little bit of edge to his character, did Hangman remind you of Bobby Roode in any way?
Yeah, a great wrestler that really didn't have that emotional tie with the audience.
Bang, there you go. And that's what you need. And now he's starting to connect. How do you know he's starting to connect? Well, the entire crowd surfed him last night. And I don't think that was a worked surf spot. There might have been one or two guys in there to make sure he didn't crack his head, but those people legitimately picked him up. And if anybody know what it's like to crowd surf, it's me and you, because we crowd surfed at our party in New Orleans.
That's right, we did.
And surfing me ain't no easy task, brother.
I agree. There's depth to his character, and now there's an emotional tie to his character. Because when I see Hangman Page, I don't think of a guy that's a great wrestler that I don't know. I'm starting to know him, and it's more about his personality and character than what he can do between the ropes.
Absolutely. And when you're focused on the personality and the character first, whatever he does in the ring is going to be even that more special, because now you're connecting with the man first and the move second, as opposed to only being able to connect with a move. Case in point, Ricochet with a microphone in his hand on Monday night. You can react and connect with his moves, right? There's a response to the moves that Ricochet does, because the moves that Ricochet does are phenomenal. Could you react and get into him as much when he's on the microphone?
No, there's no emotional tie to Ricochet at all, to the point where Brock Lesnar, the Beast, your champion, the number one, you know, entrant into the Royal Rumble in less than a week, kicked him in the balls and nobody reacted in the crowd.
If they're not, if you do like one of the most heelish things, scumbag things, kicking another man in the balls, and if people don't feel sympathy for you, you got a problem. That means that they don't care about you. Because even if two guys get in a fight and the guy that's getting kicked in the nuts is not really well liked by everybody, they'll at least react because they feel bad for mm-hmm. him, because that was a real scummy move on the other guy's part. Like, we might not like either one of you, but man, we really dislike you a lot more because of what you did. But they didn't feel any sympathy for Ricochet in that moment. Putting this edge on Adam Hangman Page gives him that depth of character. I want to see him when he goes out there. Now I got the crowd chanting cowboy shit. Now I see him with a drink in his hand at all times. Now I see him looking cross at his buddies, his best friends, his, you know, his soulmates.
Depth, character,
you go, brother,
personality.
It's simple.
Emotional.
So now
investment.
When he does that, now when he does that flip over, you know, handspring clothesline to one of them, I'm gonna probably hate him more.
And if when he does that, I'll be like, I can't believe he can do that while he's drunk.
Yeah, you got to do it with a drink in his hand, not drunk. When Scott Hall got thrown in the pool years ago and held his drink and then just got out of the pool and drank it.
Priorities, my friend, priorities.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Keith Lee, your new North American champion. I like what Keith Lee said there. Because he said that championship, the most prestigious championship now, because he holds it in the WWE, and he wants to now elevate that title because the options are limitless, because just like Keith Lee, he's limitless. Interesting take by Keith Lee. I like it, but I'm not sure if I like him winning that title last night on NXT.
All right, let's put the title win to the side for a second.
Okay.
So you said you'd like the promo, right?
I did.
You liked the words that came out of his mouth, right?
Yes.
What did you think about the delivery? What did you think about the volume? What did you think about the tone in his voice? What did you think about the inflection? Or did you not give it any thought at all?
I really didn't give it any thought.
Okay. You know what problem I have with Keith Lee when I hear him talk?
What's that?
He sounds too nice. I don't want Keith Lee to sound nice. And I'm not telling him to yell and scream. But I'd like a little bit more bass in his voice. I'd like a little bit more seriousness in the tone. His voice is riding a little too high on the soprano level. I want to hear more of a baritone level. When Keith Lee speaks to me, I want the tone and the inflection to scare the shit out of me. I want to know that Keith Lee is the most credible champion walking in the WWE just because of the bass in his voice. You can take all of the same words, but just bring it down an octave. Because when you bring it down an octave, I'm believing all the shit that you're spewing. When you're high up here, you sound a little nice. I liked what he had to say. I thought it was a little scripted, but that's okay. Because there's way too many positives on the Keith Lee checklist than there are negatives. But we know how important it is to communicate with the crowd. I want to hear him communicate it with the crowd with a little bit more conviction in his voice. Feel free to disagree if you want.
It's not so much I'm going to disagree, but I think what you said about there's a lot more positive than negative, that's the train I'm going to take on this, because I am starting to connect with Keith Lee. As a matter of fact, as far as WWE champions, he might be my favorite WWE champion just because there is emotional investment with him. I love the credibility because of his size and his skill set. And also because he's a North American champion and not the NXT champion, he has a tremendous upside, and this is just the foundation and the beginning. I like the way that the WWE is not rushing with Keith Lee. Now, he's been, for the most part, in the main event scene now for a while on NXT, but they didn't make him the champion. That's going to be a major moment. Though the only negative I see in him winning that title is the fact of when it happened, because it leaves a little bit to be desired when it comes to the Royal Rumble taking place on Sunday. There was still that open-endedness, especially after what CM Punk said and saying that he would love to have seen Keith Lee win the whole thing. I just feel now that he's a North American champion, that moment is not going to happen. And even if there is some kind of stare down with Brock, it's not going to mean as much because he has that North American championship.
Bullshit.
Okay, good. Please, feel free to tell me why I'm wrong and give me a reason why I can buy into Keith Lee winning the Rumble on Sunday.
15-yard penalty, Dave LeGrecker. Bullshit. I'll take the penalty. How in the world, if we still get that moment with Brock and Keith Lee, is it not going to mean anything to you? Maybe you're too much on the inside.
No, because I'm saying I want to see Keith Lee win the Royal Rumble. If he's holding on to the North American Championship, I don't think that's going to happen, Bully. I'm not dealing like an insider.
Oh, come on. How is that asking
too much like an insider? I'm not looking at the squeezing of a hand or a communication between two wrestlers in a ring or inside terms.
You used the word facts while talking about pro wrestling. What are the facts? There's no facts. History might lean in a certain direction, but that's maybe why they went in this direction, to throw you off the scent. I am not thinking any less of a Keith Lee-Brock Lesnar interaction because Keith Lee won the NXT North American Championship. Because even though let's say I go a little deep and I go, okay, maybe he's not going to go over, I'm looking this as an opportunity for him to get over. And I think Keith Lee getting over in the Rumble is more important at this stage of the game than him going over.
All right, so you and I are looking at two completely different things, because you're talking about a moment with the stare down where he can have that moment in front of an audience that maybe doesn't watch NXT, that now they look at Keith Lee as a major superstar. I'm looking at Keith Lee winning the Royal Rumble, because I thought that would be extremely interesting, not only for Keith Lee, but for NXT as a show, if an NXT superstar like Keith Lee, who's credible, and actually I can see, you know, eliminating a Brock Lesnar during the Royal Rumble.
Dave, don't you realize that Keith Lee, if he is in the Royal Rumble, is in a win-win situation?
If he's in the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Tell me why.
How could he not be? Do you think if they put him in the Rumble that they're just putting him in there just to throw him out?
Maybe.
Oh, come on, man.
Hey, listen, Bully, you were saying the same thing to me on Tuesday when it came to NXT, and I was saying about NXT superstars being in the Rumble. You're like, you don't want to say this because you're going to regret it when we're on the air on Thursday. And from that, nothing has changed between Tuesday and today when it comes
Time
to
out.
NXT.
Who's the only person I said I wanted to see in the Rumble on Tuesday?
From NXT?
Yeah.
Keith Lee.
Yeah, so how could I have been referring to Keith Lee in that scenario? I was referring to all of the people you were bringing up, all of the other NXT talent. There's no way in hell, with the trajectory that Keith Lee is on, I would pray to the wrestling gods that this would not happen, that they would have Keith Lee just be an entrant only to get rid of him and him mean absolutely nothing. No way in hell. I can't see that happening. What I can see happening is Keith Lee being a surprise entrant and them giving him a moment, a memorable moment that they can always play back. And that moment, to me, is with Brock Lesnar. And if Keith Lee has that moment with Brock Lesnar, if Keith Lee stands face-to-face, toe-to-toe, goes shot for shot, gets some shit in, gets some offense in on Brock Lesnar, Keith Lee is now made. And now, if Brock Lesnar were to throw Keith Lee over the top rope and eliminate him, I think more of Keith Lee because it took the world champion to get rid of Keith Lee, and now Keith Lee has something to fight for. I'm that much more invested in Keith Lee. And that's if he's losing. If he's winning, it's gravy.
And in that scenario, Bully, I agree with you. If that scenario happens, but a lot has to happen. You know, first of all, they still have not announced. They've announced zero NXT wrestlers in the Royal Rumble. So if we do see NXT wrestlers in the Royal Rumble, it will be a surprise, which I still don't understand because it's supposed to be a major brand in the WWE, yet there is zero presence for NXT at the Royal Rumble. They would have to have him in the match, and they would have to have that match, that moment with Brock Lesnar, because I agree with you. That moment would be replayed forever. You could go back to that moment 10 years from now if you wanted to, if there's some kind of face-off with Brock Lesnar. Because I don't think there's any kind of moment you could give Keith Lee that would mean anything other than a moment with Brock Lesnar.
And the beauty of having Brock Lesnar in that match is you can give a multitude of performers their moment with Brock. What happens if, listen, what if Brock is just kicking everybody's ass and we see something a little bit more different than we haven't seen in Rumble's past, where Brock is just eliminating guys left and right. And then all of a sudden, Drew McIntyre's music hits and we get a Drew and Brock face-off. Wow, what a moment. What happens if Walter's music were to hit and we get a Walter and Brock Lesnar face-off? Wow, what a moment. What happens if they hit Keith Lee's music and we get Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar to face off? Wow, what a moment. Look at how Brock makes all of these guys just by standing in the middle of the ring with them. What happens if Edge, because we've been throwing his name around, Punk, take Brock Lesnar out of the equation, put somebody else in, and do you still have all of those moments? Nope. Remember when we were in school and we had to figure out how to do a fraction, and the only way to figure out how to do fractions was breaking it down to its lowest common denominator?
Mm-hmm.
What's the lowest common denominator in these fractions of the Royal Rumble? Brock Lesnar. He's the one constant in the entire match that can make everybody. Keith Lee doesn't have to win. Keith Lee just needs to stand in the same spotlight as Brock Lesnar.
When you look at the WWE roster right now, is Brock Lesnar that only guy that could do that? Forget about the fact that he has the championship title. Is he the only wrestler on the roster that could do what you're saying?
If you're standing in the middle of the ring with Brock Lesnar, you are a made man. Your stock goes up immediately. If somebody said to me, hey, Bubba, you're going to lose tonight, but you're going to get the rub from somebody. Who do you want it to be? Brock. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm not even saying, well, maybe Roman. Well, maybe Seth. Well, maybe Bray. I'm going for the jugular. I'm going to lose, but I'm going to get the rub. I'm going to get over, but not go over. Who do I want to do that against? Brock Lesnar. Dude, how many people have Germaned Brock Lesnar in his career?
Kurt Angle.
Who else?
Did Cena do it?
Anybody? There might be a handful of guys that have the claim to fame of actually taking Brock Lesnar to Suplex City. You want to know who else has that claim to fame? Me. My point is this. In losing to Brock, I got over by standing toe-to-toe with the Beast. Now, obviously, this was at the beginning of his career, but they strapped a rocket to his back. It's actually the night that Austin walked out, and I had to work with Brock in a two-segment match. My point is, Brock is the biggest star in the WWE. Whether you like it or not, that's a fact. Nobody else gets a bigger rub than when they're standing in the ring with Brock. Listen, Ron Killings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ron Killings has been doing a phenomenal job with the 24/7 championship. He's extremely entertaining. He's really funny. Did his stock go up while he's in the ring with Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, everybody called it the segment of the night.
If Ron Killings is doing the same exact thing with Wrestler X, put whoever else you want in that segment, is that segment still the segment of the night?
No, because we saw it the next week with Ricochet.
This is why Brock is so important to the company. This is, when you're a Vince McMahon and you have a tool in your toolbox like a Brock Lesnar, dude, it's gold. He's so versatile. If I'm booking the Rumble, like those five guys, we don't know about the surprises, okay? Let's just take those three guys that we can maybe assume are going to be in the Rumble. Let's just take Drew. Let's take Walter and Keith Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Can we agree that maybe those guys will be in there?
Yeah, I agree with that, yes.
Alex, what do you think? Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree.
Okay, let's just take those three guys. If I got the pencil in my hand, I am creating scenarios during that entire Rumble where Brock has the entire ring cleared, boom, somebody's music kick, so they can have the face-to-face with Brock. And then, boom, the other guy, you know where I'm going down
yep.
here. I want to create all of these opportunities for guys to stand face-to-face with the Beast so they can be made in that moment despite whatever the rest of the match dictates.
But if, let me ask you this, if Keith Lee has a stare down with Brock Lesnar and then Brock Lesnar immediately eliminates Keith Lee, is that really giving him a moment with Brock Lesnar?
If you immediately eliminate him, I'd have to think about it, and I'd have to know the amount of time the stare down took place.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to know about the physicality that took place. I will tell you this: you get Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar standing face to face for one another, I don't think that they have to even move. I think you get the crowd chanting "Holy shit!" or "This is awesome."
Yeah, and that would last for a lifetime if you think about it. If the fans buy in and you're getting that holy shit moment, that is a holy shit moment.
You just backed up my argument. You are the star witness to my argument because of what you just said, because you just created that moment. And that's all I'm looking for. He doesn't have to go over. You just have to get over. You have your moment with Brock. You show that you can stand toe-to-toe with the Beast. You get some shots in. You do some physicality. And even if he eliminates you, there's no shame in losing to Brock, because now you go back into NXT as their North American champion and you say, I'm still the North American champion. I'm the guy that stood toe-to-toe with Brock. And one day, Brock Lesnar, Keith Lee is going to come knocking back at your door.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
See Jericho kind of salute the fans last night. It's kind of hard to stay in character 100% of the time when you're making your way to the ring as the AEW World Champion on the cruise that you booked where the live TV show is emanating from and the entire audience on your ship is singing the words to your song.
I mean, think about that. It's the Jericho Cruise. The name of the cruise is your name. Your band is playing on the cruise. You have a show where you're the champion and you're in the main event. And as you're going to the ring as a heel, everybody on board is singing your song. Like, I mean, wow. I mean, think of that moment for Chris Jericho.
You want to talk about booking yourself on top? That's Hogan-esque, brother.
Like when we have the La Greca cruise.
It's going to be in a rowboat.
It's just going to be
me, you, Tommy, Mark, Alex, and we'll make the girl row.
And then a La Greca head.
Yeah, we won't even bring you. We'll just bring the La Greca head.
Just have the La Greca head. But seriously, like, you're right. I mean, what a special moment for Chris Jericho.
Let's do the Busted Open Cruise. Oh, I have such a great joke, but I can't say it.
Yeah. Depends.
Moving on.
Okay. Seriously, like, as good as a moment was for Jericho, what a moment for Jon Moxley, now being the number one contender. And we do have, like, a month before we get to that pay-per-view. So they can add a lot of layers to this story with the eye. It's going to be interesting TV for sure before we get to that show.
Listen, they have me interested in their storyline. I mean, it's impossible not to if you have Moxley and Jericho. They're good storytellers. They're not good storytellers. They're great storytellers. They're great wrestlers. They're great performers. They're great entertainers. You don't work in the WWE at main event levels if you're not. And they're bringing that main event level storytelling and performing to AEW. As much as I loved the Hangman Page surfing the crowd, I think I almost would have liked it better if Moxley would have done it, because Moxley is synonymous with coming through the crowd. So that's just a little thing on the side, but I'm interested in the story, and I want to see who Jericho throws in front of him next.
Yeah, and again, Revolution is taking place February 29th in Chicago, so you got to figure that's going to be a hot crowd in Chicago for AEW, and you have more than a month to play with. I mean, I am extremely interested in where this story goes, because it's like you said, it's almost like the Heenan family with Hogan back in the day. Jericho is going to try to throw everybody in front of Moxley before we get to that pay-per-view, in hopes that there is no match for that pay-per-view.
And they could always, you know, he could always run through everybody. And then you get to the point where they all beat him down. They re-injure the eye. Just layer up the story until, you know, they get to the eventual, you know, match. Does Moxley win in his first attempt? Who knows? I think AEW has done a good enough job with their storytelling to keep us on our toes, where we're not quite sure who's going to win, you know, where and why and when. I don't know if I loved the MJF situation last night.
Go ahead. Tell me what.
I will say this. It was entertaining to see MJF get thrown in the pool. I just don't know if I liked the fact that we're taking what I will say is the best heel in wrestling right now, the best pure heel in wrestling right now, and we're taking heat away from him too early. I would continue to pile on heat. I really would.
I think they were probably taking advantage of the environment that they were in. They're on the deck of the pool. There's, you know, the deck of the ship. There's a pool. Let's take advantage of this. Who's best to throw in but MJF? Like, a situation like that never would have happened if they weren't in that environment.
I agree with the environment. I agree with taking advantage of it. I think they could have done it with somebody else. I think it could have very easily been done, you know, I don't know. There's probably something entertaining there with Marco's stunt or whatever. I never like to see a heel who has a tremendous amount of heat have that heat cut off unless it's the absolute right time. And I understand what they were getting at last night. I just think MJF is too damn hot right now to cool him off in any way, shape, or form. With a heel like that, his cooling off period comes after you beat him.
And you know what? Like, I like the situation where he was in Cody's face and Cody can't do anything about it. He can't touch him. Hey, that's the stipulation. I cannot touch you until we get to that show. But now it's kind of spoiled then too, because now it's just like, well, now I got the Young Bucks and they can get their hands on you. So it kind of a little bit spoils that storyline.
Now, remember, I'm not saying it wasn't entertaining.
It was.
It was entertaining, without a doubt. So I'm just giving you my personal opinion on a heel with heat, especially a young heel with heat who's doing the type of job that MJF is doing. It's not a far stretch to say that nobody in the entire wrestling business is getting as much legitimate heat as him. Correct?
MJF is special. Yes.
There you go, man.
He's a heel in a world where it's hard to make heels, I think is the right way, right?
Now when MJF comes out next week, are you going to think any less of him as that heel? Are you going to react any less to him? Probably not. And if I was standing there discussing this with whoever came up with it, I would try to make as much of an argument as possible for why him? Or could we do it in a way where it looked like MJF was going to throw Cody in the pool only for the Bucks at the last second to take it away and kick him into the pool? I thought it was just a little too heavy-handed on the babyface side of double super kick, drag him in, throw him in the pool, ha ha ha. All your heat has now been doused.
And with MJF, and I was on the Jericho cruise the last time, so there's a lot of return customers. Obviously, when you have that good of a time, you want to go back. My wife actually made a lot of friends on the cruise that she's still in touch with on social media, and they were talking that MJF aboard the ship, like, won't look at anybody in the eye, complains if anyone looks at him in the eye. Like, he is not being the prototypical heel. Like, we're seeing Rusev now doing interviews, talking about the storyline, kind of spoiling it in a lot of ways. MJF is as big a heel off the TV as he is on the TV.
Oh, MJF is a prime example of when people say old school wrestling techniques or theories or psychology are dead. He's a perfect example of why they're not. Because when you meet MJF at a meet and greet or on the boat or wherever where you think you're going to get the other MJF, you don't. You're getting the MJF you see in the ring. And that's why it works so well. 24/7. And I am a full believer in the 24/7 rule when it comes to characters in the pro wrestling business taking that character past the ring. I could tell you personally, when somebody meets Bully Ray, of course, if they're polite and everything, they're going to get what they want. But you're going to go home with an experience. You're going to go home going, oh, man, you know, I met Bully. You know, he took a picture with me, signed my autograph. But, well, man, I wouldn't want to screw with that guy. Or, oh, yeah, he is a bit of a heel. Or, yeah, he is a bit of a dick. Because I want that experience to mimic what you see in the ring.
Makes sense. And MJF is doing it full tilt. By the way, Bully, the phone lines are back open. A little duct tape will do you. 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93. Are you ready to take some phone calls from the nation?
And away we go.
Let's go out to Christian in New York City. Christian wants to talk about that main event from AEW. What do you got, Christian?
Hey, what's up, guys? I love the show, by the way.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question. So there was a spot where the match was great between Pac and Mox, but there was a spot where Pac went up to the top rope and missile drop kicked Mox in the chest, and he rolled over and he got up. He no-sold it and he clotheslined him. Do you guys have a problem with spots like that? Because then you look over at NXT and you see Keith Lee selling the ankle injury so well. So do you guys have a problem with stuff like that? Because other than that, like, I like to suspend my belief while I watch, but sometimes stuff like that really kind of, you know, throws me off a little bit. Like, this guy's 260 off the top rope, kicks the crap out of your chest, and you're getting up.
You know, Dave, they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, correct?
Yes.
And I kind of look at wrestling the same way. Some people might have a problem with it, like this past caller, and some people look past it. If I go to see Kiss these days, and I heard the rumors that they're using, what is it called, backing tracks?
Yes.
Or is that the correct term? Where they're playing stuff in the background to make Paul's voice sound a little better? I don't care. I don't care that I know they're using backing tracks. I'm there to have a good time, and whatever they need to do to make this a more pleasant experience for me, I appreciate. Now, I've seen on like places like Blabbermouth or any of the rock and roll dirt sheets where fans are like, that's messed up. He shouldn't be singing anymore. If you can't sing the song, don't sing the song. Screw you. Just go and have a good time. Some fans, like the fan we just heard from, have a problem with the lack of selling. A lot of AEW fans don't seem to have a problem with the lack of selling because they're so into it, they just want to chant, this is awesome, or holy shit. Who's right and who's wrong? If you go by a fan's reaction, they're the only ones who can tell you what's right and what's wrong. Dave, I can't tell you how many times if I've come back from a match, and this is mostly like with D-Von and WWE, where the agent was there to be like, hey, man, you did this wrong or you did this wrong. And I'd look at the agent and I'd go, really? Because 20,000 people just told me how right it was, but you want to tell me how wrong it was?
That's where it becomes very, very difficult. Because we do, and you know, I probably am in that classification as well as pro wrestling purists that look at wrestling in a certain way and maybe have my preconceived notions of what pro wrestling is, or maybe what I learned from being an old school pro wrestling fan. Sometimes you got to take that and throw it out the window. Am I going to come on and bitch and complain about stuff that I saw on AEW last night when there was a crowd full of people that were buying into everything that was happening and were chanting and screaming and laughing and yelling? They were having a good time. They were entertained. Who am I to tell them that what they saw was bad and shouldn't happen? This is where we get a lot of the flack. Like, this is where, like, the Jim Cornettes get a lot of flack. Because Jim Cornette looks at pro wrestling the way it was back in 1987. And it worked. But this is in 1987. You know, he talks about the ratings in, you know, in 1997. Well, TV is not the way it was in 1997. At some point, you got to take that old school book and not throw it out the window, because obviously there's still things you can learn from that. But you can't go by the same book that was written 40, 50 years ago, because life changes. Things evolve. Things become different. And I think that's the case in pro wrestling in 2020.
Dave, do you happen to know the mantra or the credo of the Team 3D Academy where me and D-Von train students?
It's old school rules and new school tools.
Bang. And I came up with that 12 years ago. Because you need a good balance of the old and the new to make it today. To make it 12 years ago, or to make it today. Old school rules applying to the way you put a match together, or psychology, or most importantly, the respect for the business. New school tools, what is working today to grasp a fan's attention and to make them spend their hard-earned money on you?
And I've been around a lot of wrestling schools in this area, in New York, New Jersey, where, and I get it, old school psychology, they play a lot of videotapes of, you know, matches and shows and promos from the 80s, but you can't say, all right, this is the way you do it, and this is what's going to make you successful. It's got to be a combination of both, because you can't be like, oh, don't watch what's going on today, it's shit. Well, then, but this is what's going on today, and obviously it's popular, and obviously people are reacting to it. You know, whether you watch NXT or AEW, I think it's safe to say that both crowds look like they're having a good time and it's good pro wrestling shows. Now, maybe NXT is a little bit more old school than AEW is, but I think it's safe to say both are successful in what they're doing.
If you define success by the looks on fans' faces and the responses that fans give to the performers, I agree with you. Both fan bases are having a great time.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.